Greetings, this is Will Evans. We're shifting gears. Today is a continuation of our program with Chief Orville Looking Horse, keeper of the White Buffalo Calf Pipe Bundle. We ended our first conversation with Orville Looking Horse with his words, "Creating circles all over the world can unite people." We continue from that point.
We want to bring about circles all over the world can unite people.
As a child, you grew up looking into the campfire and the central fire of a circle and grew up with respect for fire and the sun and the sun dance. Is there anything more you can say to us about the fire?
Yes, it's an energy. No, the fire is a sacred energy. But if we don't respect it, it could do harm. It's a living spirit we have to honor, so it's something that we have to respect. Like in our teaching with our oral tradition, is part of our ceremony. And we need to, because there's a whole teaching about that. Then we have the water. In a creation story, the water of life is a spirit, like that sacred fire. So we have to pray with that water of life. But what is happening is that a handful of people are doing that. But we need to respect that water. Because if we don't respect that water, it's going to cause sickness, or people will be having a hard time. In fact, we're in a drought. Last 2 years here in the Dakotas.
Yes.
So water has a big part in our ceremonies and our prayers. Fire and water, and we have that spirit food. In our tradition, we have to pray with that spirit food to give thanks. There's a balance that we have to play, we have to do every day. We have to pray with that spirit food, so the food will be always ongoing. And also give thanks to everything that is, because everything has a spirit. So we pray with that, and then that spirit food, our food, they need to honor that food that they put into their body. In our tradition, long ago, in our ceremony, people have to bring their own cups, bowls, utensils.
Yes.
To the ceremony. The food that we eat is all blend. It's natural. So when somebody prepares for that ceremony, the food, then they can't taste that food. Go with the flow, or they have to know that the food would be good. When you put your energy into that food, then it's good. Then the food that they prepare has to be chemical free. No salt,
yes.
No sugar. It's got to be natural as it can be.
Okay.
In fact, we're supposed to be eating those natural foods. So whatever we put into our body, it has to be good, our body, because our body is separate too. We talk about the mind and the body and then our spirit. But the body is we have to take care of that body. But what is happening is when you live in this fast world and everybody has to buy food, and we're not preparing that in a good way. I'm sure that they use a lot of chemicals, a lot of sugar. And so our children are being born diabetic. It affects the mind and the body. So we're becoming unhealthy people. In order for healthy nations to survive, we need to go back to our natural diet and then our natural medicine. What our body, our blood is used to, our DNA is used to, that's what we need to get back to.
I'm a physician and for a time worked with the Indian Health Service in Alaska.
Uh-huh.
And I saw lots of young children whose teeth at a young age were just destroyed by cavities because, you know, they just drank soda pop and they didn't eat their normal healthy diet.
Yes.
And they used to have just magnificent teeth, really healthy teeth.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right. Even here, long ago, I saw pictures of elders not having good teeth. But today, it's not that way. I seen a picture of a bear. Was very skinny, and in fact, I think it died of. So they checked what this bear was eating in there. The bear was eating fast food at a restaurant. What they threw out.
Oh no!
It lost his teeth, and that's how the bear died.
Hmm. Is there more you can tell us about the chinupa, the pipe that you're the keeper of?
Oh, yeah. You know, we live in a time and everything involves money or power or whatever. But we say that through this chinupa, through the pipe, we need to... it's part of our tradition, too, where when we have a ceremony, then when we lose somebody... who goes into the spirit world, they mourn for 1 year. Then after 1 year, they have a big giveaway. And then a lot of things that they accumulated, or a lot of times they give whatever they have. But in that song, they say when you have a giveaway, then it comes back twice.
Hmm.
So we were taught not to be stingy with whatever we have. That's why we have giveaway. Then things would be healthy in that way. Like a long time ago, that's what they did was they value horses. It's kind of hard because today there's no place for horses. I know that because I work with the protection of buffalo and horses and different animals. And I hope that there's a protection for all the white buffalo or the white animals, the white deer, because people kill just to have the hide of a white animal.
Yes.
I saw that in South Africa, they brought this white lion to California, I think, to show them. But these are not show pieces. These are messages we have to fulfill in our ways. It's about dreams. Not only Native people, but non-Natives are even having dreams about these white animals. But through the chinupa, through the pipe, she said, totally reminded people that to walk in peace and harmony. And we're supposed to walk in peace and harmony.
So the pipe is all about peace and harmony.
Yes, it is.
And so whenever the pipe is smoked, it's about coming together in peace?
Yes, it is.
Are humans naturally peaceful, or is this something we have to learn and be taught by our elders?
It's taught by our elders. In our tradition, that's why we have societies, because everybody has equal responsibility as a tribe. Long ago, that everybody has a sacred bundle in a camp. That's why we have called Ishnanti, or the women that are on the moon. They can't be in a camp, so they put them outside the camp. Then after they're done for 4 days, then there's a ceremony to bring them back into the camp. That respect is there. People were taught about respect. In fact, if you go to somebody's teepee at the time, they have somebody that could bring you into the teepee. The women are in control of the teepee. So she takes care of the teepee, but she has a place for her man. So when you go into the teepee, the family would seat you wherever you have to sit. Let the elders talk about, long time ago, there's no padlocks because it's from the heart. You have to honor the creator in your heart and walk in peace and harmony. And so you have to have the respect for families, environment, and medicine. Everybody had bundle at the time. Today, a lot of learned behaviors that we have, and there's so much drug and alcohol affecting a lot of families and a lot of abuse. Today, we have a lot of workshops and a lot of people talking about healthy nations or healthy tribes, because we need to utilize those teachings of long ago to help the people in general, how we can be drug and alcohol free environment.
So to hold to peace when your survival is threatened is really strong-hearted work for a man.
It is. I hope for me, I talk about the white buffalo, and because it's about peace. The white buffalo calf woman, she brought the sacred pipe to the people. She talks about peace and harmony. But what is happening is that we're not using that sacred language or teaching. And that's what we need to promote in the world.
In my culture, there is such a reflex, aggressive attack behavior that peace isn't even on the screen. It's not even visible as an option and a choice, and there's not a training in our culture for young men to be peaceful. It's a great pleasure to have you speak with us, and a gift, because I know when you talk to young men, like at the high school yesterday,
yes,
they know you show up and you represent the pipe and you represent peace and that vision, as well as they're learning how to play basketball hard and fast and strong and aggressively.
Yes.
As a man, is there anything more you can say about what you've learned about peace within yourself? I know for me, I have to be peaceful inside before I behave peacefully with people around me.
Yes. We need to teach young people, because there's a balance that we have to live with, and is that equal respect with women.
Yes.
You know, long ago, that the elders said that honoring the spirit as it is today, when a man or woman, you know, having a child, that child is a spirit that came here upon the earth. In our ceremonies, when the child is born, the mother and the father have to be there. And the father takes care of this afterbirth.
Yes.
That from there, this man takes care of the spirit, the boy or girl, being born till the age of 12 years old. So in our life, we have four stages. All our ceremonies are 4 days or 4 years. And our four stages in life would lead us to be 100 years old.
Hmm.
But what is happening is that we're living a time, and today the mother and the father has to work. So the mother doesn't nourish the baby. See, in our tradition, the mother has to nurse that baby.
Yes.
Because there's a sacred energy there.
In the mother's milk.
Yeah. So from there, the nourishment to the child would be ongoing relationship with nature.
Yes.
So the child would be in tune with spirit. But what is happening today is a lot of our kids are bottle fed.
Right.
So the child is going to be angry, or the father has to work, and a lot of times the father's not there when the child is born.
Yes.
The child is already being introduced into an environment where it's going to have behavior problems. That's what we're lacking today. And that's what, in our teachings, they say that this child is going to be a leader someday. We always have to believe that that child is going to be a leader someday.
So you say that about every child?
Yes.
So you see every child and every person as inherently powerful?
Yes.
Yes. Is there a difference between the power you have and the power we have?
No, there's no difference. That's a teaching that I think every tradition, every culture has.
Yes. For me to grow in peace, I have to really take responsibility for my innate violence. I have to have an alliance with my violence and use it consciously, because when I hunt and kill an animal or gather a plant, as I picked chard in the garden this morning, that's violent. I'm taking that life, and I have to use my power and my violence in a respectful, conscious way and ask permission and give a gift.
Yes.
So there's an equitable exchange. Now, from what you said, it sounds like you may not hunt because you were never allowed to carry a gun.
Yes. A person in my position, we can't hunt.
Yeah.
Long time ago, that's the people take care of the bundle keeper.
Right.
But today, we live in a society where it's not that way. In fact, the last administration that we have budget cuts, and our tribe, you know, there's no money with our tribe. So our tribe is struggling here.
Yes.
So living on the reservation is extra tough because, you know, first of all, we have 80% of no jobs. And then our tribe, Cheyenne River, has no casinos. Other tribes have casinos that are surviving. But, you know, with our tribe, I don't know what the future will be like, because when a person is sick, if it's a life or death situation, they have to send them to Rapid City or Bismarck, which is probably about 3 hours away.
So peace is difficult and challenging for everyone, but for you and where you live, it's a daily act of difficulty and courage and discipline.
Yes, it is. In fact, peace and environment, because we have to create that beautiful environment.
So your tradition has both peace chiefs and war chiefs. Was that to keep the balance?
Well, I was saying earlier that a chief is, we call it Nacha, they're spiritual leaders. What happened was 100 years ago, they call them war chiefs. It's a title that is from 100 years ago till today. They call them our chief, war chief, or war bonnet. But it's not really it's a lack of communication, or, you know, the meaning is different. In our tradition, it's a very spiritual honor to have a headdress. But in the books, or the society that we live in, they call it a war bonnet. So that's a different language there.
So that's a misunderstanding on our part, that
yes,
that an eagle feather headdress has nothing to do with war.
Yes, it is.
It's about personal and sacred and use of that power.
Yeah, yes, it is. It's about peace. That person has to promote peace.
Was there a keeper of the pipe at the Little Bighorn in 1876? And if there was, can you tell us anything about what they went there to do?
At relatives that are participated in Little Bighorn.
Yes, and what was there a keeper of the pipe there?
No.
No, didn't go.
No.
Yeah. I know you speak often of your connection to the horses and the earth and the pipe. As a physician, I see disconnection to be the health tragedy of our time, that particularly young males are intentionally, and I say maliciously, disconnected from our hearts, from the earth, from the plants, the animals, each other, and from who we really are in our beautiful, sacred way. And that reconnecting with our hearts and the rhythm of the earth is the beginning to restore the healthy use of our power and our gifts.
That's right. We need to get back to respect Mother Earth and the heartbeat, because our people here take care of the Black Hills as a very sacred place where it's the heartbeat of Mother Earth. In fact, the satellite view of the Black Hills is shaped like a heart.
Mm.
They sell pictures of the satellite view in Rapid City, the Journey Museum, or that's where the elders said that the heartbeat of Mother Earth comes from.
From the Black Hills.
Yes, that's where our drums come from.
Hmm.
Drums that we use in ceremonies or at powwows, that's the heartbeat that we carry.
The people who have the sickness of disconnection, and no wonder they're frightened and violent. When people are confused and aggressive and they attack you verbally or emotionally, or maybe they've even tried physically like was done to your ancestors in the past, how do you deal with them?
We have to maintain our spiritual ways in prayer and ceremony. So that's what I do. I stay in ceremony. And
so you see every experience as a ceremony?
Yes, it is, because in our ceremonies, no, we have to pray for even the person that has done you wrong. You have to still pray for that person.
So in our words, we might say you have compassion for them.
Yes. So in our ceremony, like 1990, we did a ceremony at Wounded Knees called Wiping the Tears Ceremony.
Yes.
As a whole nation, we did. So then we prayed that there would be no more wounded knees, no more wars, or no more wiping out the tree nation or animal nation. We need to bring the honor back. Like the tree nation or animal nation, everybody has a place in this world.
Yes.
It should be because of the prices of land. They want to push all the animals out. So what is happening is that, no, we need to balance our life. Because long ago, with all these buffalo in our territory here, all the buffaloes and the horses in our ceremony, in our sacred sites, it brings rain.
Hmm.
Because we pray with the horses to the west for the horse station. When the bundle was brought 19 generations ago, like every generation is one lifespan. So 19 generations back, when he brought the sacred pipe, there was a buffalo ceremony and a horse ceremony.
Hmm.
But what happened was, when I went at our local school here on China River in Eagle Butte, I was taught that the Spaniards brought the horses in the 17th century.
Yes.
But in our ceremonies, you know, it plays a big part in bringing the rain. What is happening is a lot of construction every year and a lot of pavement, and that's not going to bring rain.
Yes. So do I understand that you had the horses before the Spanish came?
Yes.
Wow, I didn't know that.
It's in our ceremonies.
So the buffalo and the horse were with you from the beginning?
Yes. In fact, we have a horse dance that was introduced with that bundle 19 generations ago.
That came with the white buffalo calf bundle.
Yeah.
Wow. I told you that as a man, people have tried to disconnect me from my heart from the time I was a child in school and training and education. Did anybody ever try and disconnect you from your heart?
I guess, that challenge is always there. It's a challenge every day in our life with individuals. There's going to be a challenge every day.
So you feel that challenge?
Yes.
You feel that challenge, and yet you live in ceremony and haven't given up your heart.
Yes, that's right.
So I used the word before, strong-hearted, and you seem to understand that. What does that mean to you to be a strong-hearted man?
It's about, I went to Baghdad twice.
Yes, I've read a little bit about that.
So when I left here, I did my ceremonies, and I knew that even though there was bombs, a lot of the war zone.
Yes.
That I would go there and pray and come back, and which I did. So you got to have faith. That's what I hope people can have faith with these white animals being born, because if we don't know, we're going to see something that is coming, a great happening that's coming.
I remember what I read about your sharing that trip to Baghdad was that there was a time when you were very much afraid and you were praying and drumming, and then a piece came to you, and you used a phrase, I believe, was, I remembered who I was, and everything felt okay again, and it shifted.
Yes, I was in Baghdad, 1990, during that first war that, they call it peace camp, but it was like a concentration camp, because there was a gate, and there's a fence, like a prison fence, with barbed wire on top. And they put us in this trailer house. And there was like mice bigger than what we have here running all over at nighttime. So we couldn't sleep. To me, it was a mind game. But on the fourth day, when I was laying there, I don't know if we ever hit your finger with a hammer.
Yes, I have.
There's a pain there. It scratches your heart.
Yes.
And it felt like that. I know that my life was on the line. I probably would not come back to the state. So I prayed and I asked the Creator, well, Kankanka, that no, I came here to say a prayer. And then I feel this terrible feeling. When I was laying there in the dark, a ceremonial rattle came. It hit on the wall. That was, for me, a sign to do something or that something was going to happen. So I stood up and I gathered everybody and we circled up in prayer. And within 5 minutes later, these black cars, SUVs came and they picked us up and took us to the embassy, where we need to be in the first place. And we did a prayer, and they give us our passports back, and they give us some plane tickets. So we left from Baghdad. And they said, if they stay one more day, you can see Saddam. But I said, no. Our ceremony is the 4 days, and today is the fourth day. We just came here to pray and fulfill that and come back. So that's a faith that I had at the time.
Yes.
To do that prayer for what is happening. Because as to us, the bomb is going to affect the environment.
Everywhere.
Because if you pinch your skin, you can feel that pain a different place. And Mother Earth is like that.
You mentioned the wind. Is there anything more you can say about the wind and the winds of change?
Yes, when the white buffalo calf was born in 1994, we're going to see earth changes and climate changes. They talk about big winds, and that we see today.
So big winds are part of that?
Yeah.
And you're using them also to make energy and have some wind turbines up there.
Yes, that's right. With that wind energy, we can live in a sustainable way of living. And we have to. We have no choice today.
So using the wind for generating electricity is actually a healthy use of that power and gift.
Yes, it is. But like any other energy, we have to respect that too. We can pray about it and use it in a good way. But if the energy can shift, then it could be strong wind too.
So even using the wind could be misused?
Yes.
Yes.
We pray to the four directions, to the four grandfathers, the four winds.
Yes. You mentioned the tree and plant family, not only as living beings, but they're the lungs of the earth. Is there more you can tell us about our relationship with trees and plants?
Yes. We need to bring that back because of the drought that we're in. And we need to respect that tree and the plant, because if we don't utilize it in that sacred way, like here during this drought in the Dakotas, even they say that we're supposed to pray with chokecherries because it's part of our ceremony.
Yes.
But what is happening is we don't utilize that. A lot of our people are not going through that process of going after the food in a proper way to utilize in the ceremony. Instead, we go buy it. So chokecherries are all of a sudden disappearing because we're not utilizing it in a proper way.
So they're not being harvested respectfully with a gift in exchange.
Yes.
If people want to support you and your work for peace and the Way of Lakota Foundation, how would they best do that?
Walakota.org.
So they could send gifts that way?
Yes, I live on a reservation, and one thing that I have is my address.
Oh, that would be good.
Arvol, A-R-V-O-L, Looking Horse, Box 687, Eagle Butte, South Dakota, 57625. 57625.
And people could send money? Is there anything other gifts that would be helpful to you at this time?
Yes, we're having a hard time. I know we're living in a very harsh times, and I don't know what to say, you know?
I know you can't ask for gifts, and yet it sounds like all gifts would be welcome because it's a hard time.
Yes, it is.
And you could send on things that you could share with other people if people supported you for coming into this winter.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah.
It really helps anyway.
Yes. We have another wonderful person here in our community, Laura Bartel. She's talked to some about the buildings up there. Is it possible that some of your institute buildings may be straw bale?
Yeah. In fact, we're trying to build a school with straw bale to teach about sustainable way of living and our culture. So our children, or all children that come to the university, or it's like a university, but it's an institute.
Yes.
To teach about a way of life to respect Mother Earth, utilizing some of our teachings to help the people understand about the environment.
Yes. In many ways, Orville, it seems like the most dangerous creature on the earth today is the human male. And the pipe helps bring peace and maturity to immature masculine violence. Will the keeper of the pipe always be a male?
No, because my grandmother was a woman that's taking care of that bundle.
It sounded like that.
See, what is happening, too, is like a lot of male dominant. But you got to remember that it was a woman that brought this pipe to the people.
Yes.
And that's why we have a balance with our tradition.
So the keeper can be a woman.
Yes.
And has been, your grandmother.
Yes, it is, yeah.
To focus in on what you said, though, about men and their misuse of power and dominance, if you could say something to the men of the world today, what would you say?
We need to show equal respect. We need to respect the women because there's got to be a balance here.
Yes. And if we respect women, we respect the earth and ourselves at a whole higher level.
Yes, that's right.
Thank you so much for speaking with us today. It's been a real gift.
Oh. Uh-huh.
I've been speaking with Chief Orville Looking Horse, keeper of the White Buffalo Calf Bundle. Thank you for listening. This is William Evans. If you want to support Orville Looking Horse and his work at Woah Lakota Foundation, Woah Lakota Foundation is WOLAKOTA.org. And Orville Looking Horse is Box 687, Eagle Butte, South Dakota, 57625.